Hello, and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series, our final session this year entitled Networks to Navigate By. I'm Jill Pancoast, Vice President and Managing Partner of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our two-day program, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our alumni in the on-the-job implementation of the two-day program. As with any program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will happen. Our podcast series is designed to support and encourage you through those make-or-break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. We're going to conclude our series this year by revisiting the idea of making and managing requests, and then connect it to a new distinction I call networks of support. I'm sure many of you have been asking yourselves, how do I keep up with my TBC practices after the podcast support series has ended? How do I prevent myself from slipping back into old habits without the constant TBC reminders? After a year of regular practice, most clients are intuitively aware of the fact that without formal structures to keep them clean and sober, eventually they'll lose their edge or unravel altogether. This process of unraveling is actually quite normal. All matter and or matter of ideas eventually disintegrates without formal structures to keep them up and running. This is the physical principle of entropy. Cars need gas, stomachs need food, processes need attention. Without that, things wind down. In response to this concern, I advise clients to do the following in order to sustain their TBC practices and mindset. Number one, stay in the TBC conversation with other people. Create a TBC community of practice around you. Part of how humans sustain themselves as a species is by talking with other humans. Ever notice if you spend enough time with the same group of people, eventually you start to sound like each other, which is why you initially gravitated to the podcast support series, because you knew that without a consistent partner in the implementation process, without that constant voice in the background to cheer you on, you could have very easily fallen off the wagon, down, down, down again into the land of crackberry, Diet Coke-consuming, 70-hour-a-week workaholics, and eventually the two-day program would become just a blur, just a fond memory. In order to ensure you stick with your practices, in order to ensure you remain clean, sober, and sane, you must deliberately make and take time to talk with your fellow TBC graduates about how they're managing. And I guarantee you, every time you engage in a TBC conversation, you will reignite your own energy for this work. That's step one. Step number two, make and log at least 15 requests every day. Requests are a demonstration of TBC's management methodology in action and should by now be your primary tool for running your organization. Requests are how you, the executive, get work done through other people. They're a practical instrument for training and developing future leaders. They're a powerful reminder to both you and your staff that when it comes to the success of your organization, you're partners in this endeavor. And finally, there's a direct correlation between the number of requests you make each day and the number of hours per week you spend working. The more requests you make, the less time you and everyone else around you spends working ineffectively. Step number three, build strong, viable networks of support. Your networks of support are made up of the various individuals you include in your life who contribute to your success. If you're a human being on the planet, you belong to at least one network of support, whether you're aware of it or not. If you have a family, you belong to a network of support. If you maintain a group of professional colleagues, you belong to a network of support. The United States is a network of support, and as an American citizen, you belong. Your awareness of the networks of support you already belong to, combined with a willingness to actively participate in them by A, making requests of your fellow members, and B, allowing your fellow members to make requests of you, will C, determine the amount of power you accumulate over the course of your career. And power, as we define it, is the ability to get work done effectively. The more people you have in your networks of support, people who are open and willing to accept your requests, the more power you will accumulate over time. The opposite is true as well. The less people you have in your networks of support, the less power you'll build over time, and the more work you'll end up doing all by your lonesome. Many school leaders are under the false impression that the more work they do themselves, the more powerful they are, and therefore the more successful they will be. What then happens is that people in your networks make lots of requests of you, which you work diligently to fulfill. The problem is that if all you ever do is fulfill others' requests but never make any of your own, or you make requests but no one else ever fulfills for you, then you don't have much power. As life becomes more complex, you need to expand the number of people in your networks and make more requests of them, not less, in order to accomplish what you've already taken on, as well as what you intend to take on in the future. Over this past year, you began practicing this. As you enter year two, you now need to dive into requests head first. It is absolutely natural and necessary that you make more requests of more people if you intend to A, develop yourself as an executive, B, develop your staff as professionals, and C, keep your working hours under control. So let's distinguish the different networks of support you already belong to in a way that you can see them clearly and wrap your mind around the concept. The first and primary network of support most adults belong to is a network of love. Your network of love is comprised of people who are as concerned about you personally, your health, your family, your emotional life, as you are about them, like your spouse, your children, your parents, old friends. In a network of love, people offer their compassion and support to one another. They may not always be competent enough to solve each other's problems, but they're able to give love and encouragement when needed. Questions to ask yourself. Who are the primary members of my network of love? Do I have enough people in my life who are simply there for me? Do they know what matters to me? Do they know what I'm up to producing? Do I make requests of them for help when I need it? Who do I need to call this week just to say, hi, I'm thinking about you? The second network most working adults belong to is a network of professional support. People in a network of professional support provide general help to one another with their professional lives. This network includes colleagues, employers, employees, and mentors. The members of this network value one another's professional opinions and provide support in thinking about and designing their professional futures. Again, questions to consider. Who are the primary members of my network of professional support? Do I have the right people in this network to support me in achieving my professional goals? Do I deliberately take time to communicate with and cultivate this network? Do I ask the members of this group for support when thinking about my career? And again, do they know what matters to me? Do they know what I'm up to producing? When are we meeting next? The third network to identify and consider is your network of discursive support. It's been my experience that most adults don't much understand this network, what it is or who it's comprised of, and therefore don't have many people they can call on when needed. Your network of discursive support includes people you hire to educate and advise you in areas that require specialized knowledge to navigate. Members of this network initiate you into historical patterns of thinking and reasoning that existed long before you showed up and will be there long after you're gone. They include, but are not limited to, spiritual advisors, doctors, lawyers, CPAs, financial planners, and certain kinds of consultants. Their job is to help you work through society's inevitabilities with as few legal, ethical, moral, and physical breakdowns as possible. Most citizens of the United States eventually deal with members of this particular network. Again, questions to consider. Do I have a trusted doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief that I can go to when the need arises? Do I engage them enough in my personal and professional welfare? Have I included them in charting an appropriate course for myself, given my circumstances and values? Do they pick up the phone when I call? The fourth and perhaps most important group that a working professional must build for him or herself is a network of tactical support. Your network of tactical support is made up of the various individuals you've hired or enrolled to volunteer to take care of those areas in your life in which you're not competent, have no commitment to become competent, and refuse to handle yourself because you know your time could be better spent elsewhere. People like your computer repair guy, your math coach, your PTA chair, a trusted babysitter or handyman are all part of this group. Working professionals require a strong network of tactical support because you can't be competent at everything, nor do you have the time or energy to act for yourself in every area of your life. The more powerful your network of tactical support, the more capacity you have to get things done in the world through other people. The secret to building a powerful network of tactical support is to secure the best technicians you can find at a price you can afford and then stick with them like glue. The time and energy it takes to replace these individuals is simply not worth it. Your job then is to make lots of requests of these people and to make them often. Members of your network of tactical support will typically be more expensive, booked with customers, and more demanding of you, but worth every cent. That's because they know that the way to succeed professionally is to have you succeed with them. They build their reputation on their work with you, which means they're more likely to insist that you listen to them and do what they say, not the other way around. A good example of this, ladies, when was the last time you argued with your hair colorist? Who won? My point exactly. It's to your advantage to listen to these people. You get a better result. I recently worked this issue through with a client who decided it no longer made sense for him to do his own yard work. After much hemming and hawing, he realized that the time he physically spent dealing with the yard, as well as the time he spent procrastinating about dealing with the yard, was not nearly worth as much to him as the time he could be spending with his family. His personal time was worth more to him than the cost of paying someone else to do yard work. He finally hired a lawn service. Another one of my clients was recently dealing with a supervision issue in his school. He simply didn't have enough adults on staff to cover the daily supervisory needs of the organization, so he was constantly assigning himself to supervision at the expense of his coaching days. When we talked it through, he admitted that any fully functioning adult could handle supervision. It was not a job that required special certification. I then suggested that he make a request of his PTA chair to put together a list of 10 parents who could and would be willing to step in and handle supervision on an as-needed basis. The client thought it through and realized that his after-school parent tutoring group had been so successful all year that there was no reason why his volunteer coordinator couldn't organize a similar model group for ad hoc supervisory duties. I reminded him that in a school of 800 students, his volunteer coordinator could, in all likelihood, enroll at least 10 parents who were up to the task. What was missing was his request. Final story that illustrates the power of a tactical network combined with the willingness to make requests. We have a client who works in a K-8 building in Manhattan. She drives in and out of the city each day from her home in New Jersey and parks her car near her school. She's a loyal customer of a dry cleaner down the street from her workplace. One morning, she walked into the cleaner's, knowing she had to leave work right at 4 with her clean clothes in tow, handed her car keys to the merchant, and asked if he could have her car waiting at the entrance to her school at 4 o'clock with her dry cleaning hanging in the back seat. "No problem," he replied, and it was done. An easy on-time exit for her, no parking tickets, and clean clothes to boot. the perfect illustration of how requests can flow between members of a tactical network, each one loyal to the other's cause, each one invested in the other's success. Again, I can't stress this enough. As your personal and professional lives become more complex, you need to consciously expand the number of people in your various networks and make more requests of them in order to accomplish what you've already taken on, as well as what you're going to take on in the future. This is how you increase your power to make the difference in the world that you want to make. Which brings us back to the beginning. Executives get paid to talk, not to do anything. The specific kind of talking executives get paid to do is to make requests. It is then the executive's job to manage his requests and the conversations that inevitably follow so that his requests result in the coordinated, effective action of others. If, at this point in your TBC implementation process, you still find yourself involved in activities that you no longer wish to be a part of, that's an indication that you need to start making more requests of your various networks. The opposite is also true. If you notice reoccurring breakdowns in specific areas of the organization, this indicates that you may not be effectively managing certain requests you've already made. It may be time for you to address someone's particular training and development needs, or move forward with a difficult conversation you've been putting off. Point being, if you're looking at the world through the lens of managers get paid to talk, the challenge I now put to you is this. What bigger, bolder requests could you begin making of people in your various networks that ultimately would increase your time in classrooms and decrease your overall time at work? Administrators who stay and thrive in public education will get good at innovating and inventing new ways of running their organizations by engaging their entire school community. We call these leaders educational entrepreneurs. They'll spend their time talking to and making requests of their various constituencies so as to tightly weave select groups of people into the fabric of their schools. This is where you are now. It's time to start moving the TBC conversation out beyond the front office in a way that increases the strength and size of your networks of support and builds leadership capacity throughout the organization. Your job then, via requests, becomes the training and development of these people so that they produce the results you're after. Of course, keep practicing the fundamentals with mastery as the goal. The fundamentals are the bedrock upon which you build all other systems around you. Ultimately, though, your ability to sustain TBC in your work environment is up to you. We promise to remain an integral part of your network of support, but you must make the requests that will keep life sane and manageable for you while keeping your ship righted and moving forward. In conclusion, we'll remain in touch and let you know about any future TBC podcasts, programs, or events of interest. Thank you for your courage, persistence, and caring. And thank you for hanging in there with me all year. You are true heroes.